doing it. The rest of them tolerate it and help me out. And we're glad to try to do something special as we come together on this Sunday before Christmas morning. And so we have a lot of activity. It is indeed our worship service as well, though. This is not a program. It is simply a way for us to invite you into our lives a little bit and talk about some of the things that we do and some of the traditions that we observe while also worshiping the Lord. And so welcome this morning and thanks for coming out. We trust that it will be an enjoyable time to you and a blessing. We have we need all of our kids, if they haven't already done so. There have been so many things going on this morning. I've been having so many questions that I haven't got. So I need all of the elementary age kids, sixth grade on back, I need them in the choir room over here with their parents or an accompanying guardian. Jeremy? Okay, so Jacqueline and Annabelle and all you, I need you guys up here. There's a reason for that. You guys have to help me in a little while to build the nativity. And so you're going to join our carolers and they're up front waiting for you. So sometimes it just takes a little while to get all of the logistics together. What you've just seen is a trailer for Financial Peace University that starts on January 4th. 9 Sunday nights in a row. Steve and Janet Kravitz will be our facilitators, and they will be leading as Dave Ramsey teaches. And so if you have not signed up for that and you want to, you can speak with Janet because we'll need to get we actually have signed up already enough people for all of the units that we've ordered in. And so if indeed you want to get in and you haven't signed up yet, we need to order additional units because we're just 2 weeks away from starting that. And it'll go through the holidays, and so we lose some business days in there. So please let us know if you want to be a part of Financial Peace, and we'll try to make that happen for you. Also, just want to remind you that tonight is Come and Go Communion Service, and we've adjusted the time. It begins at 5 o'clock. On the Welcome Center out in the foyer, there is actually a sheet where you can sign up for a specific time slot. In years past, we hadn't really done that so much, and sometimes people would come, and several people would come at once, and they would just kind of have to wait on each other. There are 10-minute time slots. Basically, what's going to happen is you'll start out in the fellowship hall. There'll be refreshments there and fellowship. When your time slot comes up, a family that has been here in the sanctuary with me having prayer and communion will come and let you know that whoever's next on the list can come. But it's just come and go. You can stay in fellowship as long as you'd like, or you can come, have communion, have prayer, and go on to other activities this evening if you need to do that. But indeed, we invite you to come. We're going to try to handle all that between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. But that sign-up sheet is out on the Welcome Center, so you can pick a specific time that you want to come and be with us if you want to have a communion and prayer this evening. Also, remind you that there is no service on Wednesday evening, as that is Christmas Eve. And some of you have family gatherings at that point in time, and so we encourage you to do that and indeed to enjoy the holiday and all of the family significance that is indeed a part of that. Don't forget, next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of the month. It is indeed Dog's Dinner Sunday, so there will be a Dog's Dinner next Sunday, as is regularly scheduled every month, to welcome visitors and also to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. In your bulletin is a green sheet that has information for the office. If you don't care to fill those out, you say, oh, I've done that before, please do it again for us, because sometimes your phone numbers change. Sometimes you get cell phones. Sometimes you change cell phone numbers. Sometimes you shut off your house phone. And we don't know all that stuff if you don't tell us. And so, indeed, we're trying to update for the first of the year all of those records. And so if every family would fill one of those out, it gets us up to date. If we, for chance, have gotten typographical errors, put wrong dates in or whatever, we get all that corrected so that we can indeed take care of you in the way that we would like to do so. So we welcome you this morning and trust that you'll just keep your eye on the bulletin or check out the website and see all the things that indeed are coming up. We're going to ask Jennifer, if she will, to pray an opening prayer for us this morning. Let's just all stand together and Jennifer, pray God's blessing on our gathering today.
Father, we're glad to be in your house this morning, and we're so thankful for that freedom to choose to come and worship you today. Lord, we're thankful for each one that has made today a special time to come set aside and worship you. Lord, we're thankful for what you have done in our lives. Lord, we're thankful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, and we're thankful for this Christmas season that before he could die on the cross for us, you sent him as a babe for our salvation. And Father, I pray that as we celebrate and enjoy this these Christmas seasons and the Christmas family gatherings and all the things that are going on, that through all of that we'll remember what Christmas is all about. Lord, I pray that you would bless and especially be near and dear to all of our people that are traveling today and unable to be with us today, and those that are sick. Lord, bring them all safely back to us that we can worship again together. And may today be focused on you, Lord, as we worship you this morning. So we are so thankful for what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll ask our ushers to come if they will. We want to receive the regular morning tithes and offerings. We appreciate so much your faithfulness and obedience in giving today. And the whole spectrum of Swearingen Family Christmas has changed through the course of the years. It used to be that all of my kids were here and a part of this with us. And as they have grown and gone into their own livelihoods and things, now three of them live somewhere else. And so Cody is still here and part of the church family, and so he's always with us, and we're thankful for that. The others are making their way in. Nathan from California will be here Christmas evening, and then we hope Christmas late morning sometime. Will and Larissa are coming in. Hannah is to arrive Tuesday. So we should get them all back for Christmas Day, but today we're looking at Swearingen Family from a little different perspective. I've expanded a little bit, of course. This is Sister Sue Arnold, who, for those of you who don't know, is my actual sister. And so she gets a little tired of me calling her Sister Sue all the time. But at any rate, she is my more mature sister. She's older than I am. And so at any rate, I'm glad that she is with us today. Last year and the previous 2 years, Max was fighting a battle with cancer, and we've lost him this past year, but it's great to have Sue to be here on the platform with us. She is my immediate family sibling. And then you hear me tell stories all the time about the extended Swearingen family and how we meet here Thanksgiving and Christmas, my mom's side of the family. Indeed, we had a great gathering last night. And so my Uncle Bill's, two of Uncle Bill's daughters are here at the church good part of the time. And so my cousin Cheryl and my cousin Debbie are my Uncle Bill and Aunt Faye's daughters. They have other children as well, but these are the ones that are here at church with us. So I've kind of tried to bring the whole family in because indeed we are a very close family. We love getting together, and they are very special and significant to me. And so all of them are going to be sharing with you at some different points and parts today. So we trust that you will enjoy. It is, again, a worship service. As we carol, whatever we're doing, you feel free to join in and worship the Lord as we go through these activities and these parts of the service this morning. Brother Pat, if you would come and ask God's blessing on the offering and receive my tithes and offerings this morning. Cheryl's going to play and sing for us.
Father, as we gather together this morning, some of us have already celebrated the birth of your son that you sent to us many years ago. Others are looking forward to that. But as we come together this morning, we want to say thank you for this great gift that you give to all mankind. We ask you this morning as the Swearingen family gathers together to not only just bless us with a presence, but bless us with your word. We ask your blessing might be upon them. We ask now that your blessing might be upon this offering, that it might go to the further thy kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate that. Hey, I think I hear somebody at the door. Let me go see who it is. Hey, come on in. We got some folks from the church. Good to see you guys. Hi, Miss Nikki. How you doing? You're losing teeth. Aiden, how are you, buddy? James, hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Autumn. Hi, Mindy, how you doing? Madison, Jeremy, how you doing, guys? My goodness, what a good group of people. Thanks for coming to see us. Hi, Wyatt. Glad you came, buddy. Good to see you, Mike. Hey, Chad. Well, I'll be from Los Angeles, California. Good to see you, Kurt. All right. Well, what brings you guys out on a night like tonight?
Come to Carol.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Well, just cut loose and we'll listen. And can we sing along with you? All right.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. And wonders of His love. The herald angels sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Glory to the newborn King.
Hey, just before you guys sing any more, if you've got some, Heather has some information that we would like for her to share. It tells us a little bit about carols and their significance.
I never thought of it as a spiritual carol, the 12 days of Christmas. I've seen it done a lot of ways. But indeed, all of those 12 symbols have spiritual significance. So Heather, share that with us, please.
Sure. There's one Christmas carol that has always baffled me. What in the world do leaping lords, French hens, swimming swans, and especially the partridge who won't come out of the pear tree have to do with Christmas? From 1558 until 1829, Roman Catholics in England were not permitted to practice their faith openly. Someone during that era wrote this carol as a catechism song for young Catholics. It has two levels of meaning, the surface meaning plus a hidden meaning only known to members of their church. And each element of the carol has a code word for a religious reality, which is the children could remember. The partridge in the pear tree was Jesus Christ. The two turtle doves were the Old and New Testaments. Three French hens stood for faith, hope, and love. The four calling birds were the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five gold rings recalled the Torah, or Law, the first five books of the Old Testament. And the six geese a-laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming represented the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. The eight maids a-milking were the eight Beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10 lords a-leaping were the 10 commandments. The 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. And the 12th, the drummers drumming, symbolized the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. So there's your history lesson for today. And this knowledge was shared to me, and I found it interesting. And so pass it on if you wish. May God grant you peace and happiness throughout this Christmas season.
All right. So I hope that you guys, if you didn't know that before, maybe that's some new information for you to understand better some of the carols. You have some more songs?
Yeah. Sing with me.
Holy infant, so tender. wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, before you guys leave, I'm wondering, I see all these kids here. One of the traditions at our house is our kids always wanted to play. Jennifer has all kinds of nativities. The kids always wanted to play at the nativities, and that was not a good thing. And so years ago, Jennifer constructed a kid-friendly nativity scene. So I need all you kids to come up here and join me at this table, okay? And indeed, Miss Jennifer and Cody are going to help us to read the Christmas story, okay? So if I get some of you over here, can some of you come over here on this side and some of you on this side over here, okay? And I have here some very important parts, okay? These are kid-friendly nativity figures. And so we're going to indeed build the nativity scene. Hey, Lizzie. Well, sure. Come on up here, Lizzie. All right. Very good. So we're gonna build the nativity. Okay, here's a Mary, and here's a shepherd, and here's a cow, and here's a sheep, and here's a sheep, and here's another cow. And then I got... Up, there's baby Jesus. Okay, and here's a wise man. And here's a shepherd. And here's a wise man. And here's a wise man. And this is Joseph. And this is a shepherd. And last but not least, we have the angel. Now, here's what's going to happen. Everybody has their component. They have their person. Miss Jennifer's going to read this story from Luke chapter 2, and then Cody's going to read the part about the wise men, and we are going to put together, okay? So let's everybody kind of get where you can get around, and we're going to put the people here and build the nativity when it's time, okay? Everybody hang on to your people, and we're going to listen to this story, and we may need to interrupt as we go, but we're going to read the Christmas story, and we're going to build the nativity scene, okay?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. Okay. Because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary,
okay,
who
Mary?
Was pledged to be married to him right. and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born.
Where's baby Jesus?
And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, just a second. Before we go any further, let's find the animals, okay? Let's get the animals. Okay, hang on to your wise man and put your sheep up here. Okay, and put your donkeys and your cows up there. All right. Okay, now hang on to the shepherd. Not yet. Don't bring the shepherds and wise men yet. Okay? Hang on to you guys. Okay, Miss Jennifer, go ahead.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified.
Oh, let's stand the angel up here. Okay.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and were and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Okay, so we have that part of the nativity built. Now, the wise men are always a part of the nativity, but here's what we need to remember. The wise men did not come on the same night that the shepherds came. They came later to see Jesus, probably a year to 2 years later. And so we're going to hear that part of the Christmas story now. Cody?
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was.
Okay.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
Okay, let's put the wise men in now. Put them up here as part of the story. You have a wise man? Thank you.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
All right, so now we have the nativity scene. So we have to sing an appropriate song now. So can you help us, Amanda? All right, let's join together. That's great. We are so glad that all of you came to carol to us. We appreciate our church family. We love everybody. I think Miss Jennifer's got something she wants to give because Christmas is all about giving. And Remy's going to help pass those out. And while we're doing that, we have one other thing that we need to do and we need to celebrate, which involves children this morning, because I have, "Fear not, for I bring good tidings of great joy." because three of our children have received Jesus Christ into their hearts. Back during the summer, and we kind of been watching through this to see how it was turning out. But Remy prayed with his parents to ask Christ into his heart. And then we received word last Sunday morning that Avery Allen received Jesus Christ during the church time last week. And then this morning, we found out that Autumn also had asked Jesus into her heart. And so we are thrilled that these people have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Okay, so, Remy, you want to help me here? Okay. Okay, put your hand on my hand. Okay. For those of you who haven't seen it or don't know it, this is our salvation candle. And every time somebody receives Christ as their Savior, we light the candle. And we celebrate because the Bible says all the angels in heaven celebrate when a sinner comes to Christ. And so let's celebrate together again. And thank you all so much for coming and being a part of our Christmas time together. It's always great to be with our church family. And thanks so much for singing those beautiful carols to us this morning. And so you guys may go if you'd like. Merry Christmas, everybody. Take care. See you all later. We'll see you at church. And I'm so glad you drove all the way from California to get here.
It was a long drive.
You should have just picked Nathan up and brought him with you on the way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have many ongoing traditions that are a part of our Christmas season, both in our homes. You all have Christmas traditions. We have Christmas traditions at church. And one of those traditions is to light the Advent wreath every Sunday and observe the candles that are part of the Advent wreath. Indeed, week one was the prophets, week two was the angels, and week three was the shepherd. And today is the fourth week of Advent, and it is indeed the day for Mary's candle. And what we've done through the years is we use the Advent wreath as an opportunity to introduce you to some of the new families who've come into our church during the course of the last year. And I thought it was appropriate this morning. In years past, we've kind of gone ahead as a family because a lot of people have Advent wreaths at their house, and my kids have lit the Advent wreath and read the poem. But we have had several new families that have come into our church this past year, and we're excited for all of them. And I wanted to try to incorporate as many of them as we possibly could. And so I'm going to ask James and Marie and their family to come forward this morning. And it really is part of our family Christmas because James and Marie are neighbors to Cody and Heather. And it's not the whole story, but a piece of the story was that because of their acquaintance with each other as neighbors and friends, that after Bible school this past summer, James and Marie became a part of our church. And so we're going to ask them to come this morning. And I think James is going to read for us. And so if you'll take that mic there on the floor, James, and read our poem to us. And Marie, if you want to light, this has a safety trigger. You have to push this one. And we're going to light the four outer candles.
Good morning, everyone. So Pastor Gary kind of told you guys a little bit of our backstory, being neighbors with Cody and Heather, and we started getting involved in the church right after Vacation Bible School.
Yep.
So we've been here since, and we love it, and we appreciate everybody, and glad to be here. So the Advent wreath for week four. Today, four lights glow in our wreath of Advent. The fourth one for Mary, to whom the angel was sent, to Nazareth, went Gabriel in Galilee with a message. God's chosen, Mary would be. A miracle would happen, a virgin with child, this blessing to Mary so meek and so mild. She went to Elizabeth and shared this thing. The babe leaped in her womb, Mary began to sing. Then the time was come, the special day, when the child was born and laid in the hay. 'Cause the known was full, no room in the inn, for the King of Kings who would save us from sin. The angels sang, and the shepherds went, to find God's Son, who from heaven was sent. Mary treasured these things, kept them deep in her heart, and forever were glad she accepted her part.
All right, thank you so much. And this is James, and Marie, and Nikki, and Aiden, and Addison. So Addison's relatively new, and we're glad that she made it out this morning. And it was great to have Lizzie come up and be part of this morning, too. So welcome the Horns to our church family this morning. Thank you, James and Lori. Appreciate that. And so, Jennifer, you have a microphone there, and there's microphones close by, I think, to you guys. Supposed to be somewhere nearby there. And so share a little bit, and any of you can share that would like to this morning, perhaps just a Christmas memory or why Christmas is special to you or what you enjoy about Christmas. As far as your maybe family traditions growing up or the traditions that we've had in our own family.
Well, first of all, I have to say I have a very, very poor memory. If my sister Denise was sitting here, she would help me, and then I could remember. But I think probably the thing that's the most special for me for Christmas is getting together with family and that we don't get to see very often, and we make an effort to try to be together. And until my grandmother died a few years ago, even my mom's sisters, there's six of them, and we still got together. And we haven't done that for a couple of years for a lot of extenuating circumstances. But I have a cousin who is trying to have a get-together after the first of the year once again, and I'm looking forward to that. But I think the biggest thing is I just love the celebration of it, the decorations, the time with family and church people and all the activities and giving to people, and you know, as many of you probably will agree with me, the older you get, it's less about what you want or what you are hoping someone will give you, but it's more about what you can give to others and just the time being together.
Okay, there are others of you that want to share something?
I think not so much at home, but we went to Mount Zion to school for a while down by Ava, and the thing I can remember about Christmas time was they always had a Christmas play, and I was fortunate to get to be in the play, and we traveled all around to the small churches all around this area and did deputation work for the school that way, and I was involved in all of them, and it was quite an experience.
Okay, anybody else? Debbie, Cheryl, any traditions maybe out of your family growing up that would be different to our family maybe, but maybe there were things that you remember in particular that you guys always did?
Not so much a tradition, but I don't remember. Were we 7 or 8 when our mom was in the hospital? And we weren't going to have a Christmas because she had legally died twice. And the church brought us all kinds of Christmas presents. We just could not believe it. I think it was one of the most wonderful Christmas presents we had because Mom got to be home.
Amen. Man, hang on. You're going to sing with me here in a minute. You're good.
Huh? Oh, I am now. You know me. I don't like it when I'm not on. But on a funny note, I mean, I know, you know, Christmas is kind of serious and everything, but there are funny things too about Christmas. And one year, Debbie and I, our parents went somewhere, and Debbie and I unwrapped all our presents and played with them, and then wrapped them all back up before they got home.
That's when we got our transistor radios.
Yeah, we got transistor radios that year. For you guys that don't know what transistor radios are, they were a big deal. Big deal, and we unwrapped all our presents and wrapped them back up, but we told them a few years later, like when we were adults, but it was pretty funny.
Cody and Heather, any particular things that you remember?
I've shared numerous things in the past, but I think as time goes on, it's been a lot of fun making our own traditions within our family, and Remy and I enjoy leaving Santa some ribs because he gets very hungry. And so that's become a tradition that I'm looking forward to doing with Remy. And so I hope that someplace has ribs on Christmas Eve because we got to go get some. But just the things that we do within our own families and the things that make, Christmas special and being older and having my siblings would be away and just looking forward to that time. I think I'm probably more giddy than Rumi is half the time, you know, looking forward to seeing my sisters and brother come back in and just having that time to chill out and spend time with one another. You know, as you get older, it becomes more and more of an event in and of itself and a good time, so.
Well, as you can see, Remy really likes being in front of lots of people. But he told me his favorite memories are he's excited to make another gingerbread house with Aunt Hannah, and he's very excited to see his Uncle Nathan. But I have lots and lots of wonderful Christmas memories, of course, with my family growing up. Of course, I wasn't a Swearingen until the last 10 years. But I had lots of cousins, and my probably most memorable Christmas was when I was 17, and we actually didn't get any presents that year, but instead we all went to Colorado, my mom and her three brothers and all 13 of us cousins with my grandma and grandpa, and just stayed in the cabin and went skiing, and that was an awesome year, and you know, I miss my grandma very much, but lots of good memories.
All right. Well, we had all kinds of great Christmases, and I know that you have too, and we've had a lot of fun. You know, things have evolved a great deal from the days of being a kid yourself, and probably the most memorable was the year that my brother and I begged for bikes because we'd had to ride our sister's bikes for years. It was totally uncool, even though you were a quarter of a mile from anybody where we were out on the farm. We lived in a valley. There was nobody ever saw us, you know, but it just was uncool to ride girl bikes. And so we got one year brand new Stingrays. Candy apple red, white banana seat, high-rise handlebar Stingrays. And of course, we lived on a dirt road down in the bottom of a hollow, and so we walked them to the top and rode the quarter of a mile down as fast as we could go. I had a knee that met a rock, and we crashed, and it's just... But we had a lot of fun on those bikes. It was snowy. That was one Christmas that it actually snowed on Christmas, and we got those bikes out and rode them in the snow that day. Of course, you don't ride very far in the snow, but... Anyway, that was a great memory as a kid. And then being able to give gifts to our own kids, you know, the things that they ask for when God allows you to be able to actually meet some of those requests along the way, that's exciting. And now we're at the stage where enough years have gone by that it's not about the presents anymore. Whether it's meeting with my mom's side of the family here at the church fellowship hall, the extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, whether it's our own family, siblings, my sisters and brother and I meet with my mom at lunch on Christmas Day, or our immediate family. And this year in particular, with the kids, some of them not even arriving until Christmas evening, you know, the most significant thing for me is having the people that I love. To just be there and be together. And the thing that makes it even of greater magnitude is that those people know and love Jesus. And it enhances and amplifies the ability to love each other in a special way. And so that's a great time. Music has always been a part of the Swearingen family back, Cheryl and Debbie's dad, my Uncle Bill, he plays, guitar and dobro, and he's 84 now and still plays in a bluegrass band and has a big old time. And my Uncle Howard plays guitar and sings. And so singing, Cheryl, of course, plays piano, and our family's always been, their family used to sing together, their brothers and sisters, And my mom and sister sang together for years. And I came along far enough behind that my debut was with a Sears Silvertone electric guitar at age 14, singing at my church with my little Sears amplifier, "Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man." And I was rocking with the electric guitar. My church was very patient, and they endured a lot of things. When I was a kid growing up at Dogwood Church of the Nazarene, they loved me and prayed for me, and that was a great experience. But one of the songs that I remember my mom and sisters singing is an old song. For the last several years, one of the traditions has been for me to sing O Holy Night as part of this gathering. But we sang O Holy Night last week as part of the service, and I wanted to do something a little different. Knowing that we were going to get the extended family in, I knew that Cheryl and Debbie had sang together as family. And so I thought it would be fun to have multiple family members sing together. This is an old song, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. And I'm not sure what we'll do to it, but we're gonna attempt it, okay? Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining far through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone. Guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of life, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn. Perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star, the hope of grace for the redeemed, the good and the blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. As we told you earlier, the thing is beautiful star of Bethlehem, got that on my brain now. The candle that indeed was lit in the Advent wreath today is Mary's candle. Now, there are many observances of the Advent wreath, and oftentimes it's hope, joy, love, and peace. And there are variations of where the angels and prophets and Bethlehem candle and all those various candles, there are many ways to use the Advent wreath. But this year again, our first week was the prophet's candle. Our second week was the angel's candle. third week was the shepherd's candle. The fourth week today is Mary's candle. And then the white candle in the center is always the Christ candle. And that is lit on Christmas Day. And so we will not be here in the church on Christmas Day. But if you have Advent wreaths at home, you'll get to indeed light that particular candle. Indeed, the whole wreath will be burning, and you will enjoy the light that it gives off and all the things that it represents. And so what we've been trying to do this past year is indeed speak to you a little bit from the Word of God about those particular characters of Christmas that the candles that we have lit on that particular day represent. And so I want to kind of expand just a little bit, because I think it's really difficult to talk about Mary and not talk about Joseph. I think they were kind of in this together. And so I want to read to you as a text from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 this morning. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, I think probably most of you are familiar with the fact, you know, we tend to read the Bible and we think of it as we understand Western civilization. We take our whatever understanding we have and we apply those words, and we know that over the hundreds of years that the Bible's been in existence, course, written in Greek and in Hebrew, that languages have changed, word meanings have changed, and traditions are different in the Jewish culture than they are in the American culture. And so for a lot of our people, when they hear that Joseph was going to divorce Mary, it's kind of like, well, how could he do that? They hadn't gotten married yet. The engagement periods of the Jewish culture were quite lengthy. And during the engagement period, of course, they were not officially married as of yet. And during that year, Joseph would spend most of his time building a house and building the furniture. And of course, we know that Joseph indeed was a carpenter, but it would have been the tradition for whoever it was create a home, purchase a home, build a home, create the furniture that's going to be a part of that home. Indeed, Mary would have spent that year very close to her mother, learning more about all of the things that a good wife and mother would do. And so those engagements might last a year or so. And then, of course, there was quite a lengthy observance of the wedding over multiple days. And so to divorce someone could have actually happened in the course of the engagement process. They're pledged to each other, and so it would have been completely within his rights. I mean, it really, understanding that women were lower in Middle Eastern culture and that men were on a different plane as far as social acceptance and responsibilities and things, it would have been perfectly acceptable with Mary in the condition that she was in for everyone to assume that she had done something she was not supposed to do, and for him to break the engagement, which would have been called a divorce, a paper of divorce would have been issued, and he could have ended this. And indeed, the scripture says that was a consideration. But as we think about Mary, and as we think about Joseph as well this morning, as we think about why these people are so significant and why God picked them in the first place, I think there are some things that we can consider this morning that we can take example from and that we indeed can strive for in our own lives, as they are a human example for us. Because before the Bible was complete, before there was a plan of salvation in human minds, before people totally understood entire sanctification and living a life of holiness and all those kinds of things, there was some very fundamental and basic things that were going on that Mary and Joseph were both very highly reputed for. And so I want us to just think about those for a few moments this morning as we think about the people that God would have us to be. And indeed, think of all of the people that existed on earth. And I'm sure God did not accidentally pick up Mary, you know, to become the mother of Jesus. Indeed, God had picked out these people to be the parents of Jesus. And there must have been reasons for that. There must have been reasons that made them the people that would be the parents that God would want for His Son coming into flesh and being born as a baby and raised. And so I want us to consider this morning that first, Mary and Joseph were people of character. And the word character has multiple definitions. And sometimes you can say somebody's a character and that's not a very good thing, you know. But indeed, as we think about character here, it's defined as moral excellence, to be of good reputation. And if we think back about the Christmas story and some of the things that even were read to us as Jennifer shared scripture this morning from Luke chapter 2, and as we consider even some of the things that we may not have physically read this morning, we know that according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, that Mary had God's favor. That doesn't say Mary was God's favorite, but Mary had God's favor. So God approved of the life that Mary was living. Now, historians tell us that in all likelihood, Mary would have been somewhere between 13 and 16 at this point in time in her life. So we don't know exactly how old she was, but she would have been a very young age. And already at the age, now how many of you, now see, parents are prejudiced a lot of times, but you know, how many of you, and I won't ask you to say anything out loud or testify or anything, but how many of you have kids that you thought as your child was growing up, young ladies in particular, you thought to yourself, my daughter is more mature than most of the other girls her age. My daughter is more responsible than most of the other girls her age. You know, there's probably some of you out there who've had daughters and perhaps you considered them in that way. They had your favor. You felt like, how many times have you heard parents testify and say, oh, so-and-so was such a wonderful child. They never gave us a problem. They never did anything they weren't supposed to do. They were always, you know, and if you ask Jennifer's sisters, they will tell you she was that kind of person. She doesn't talk about that, but indeed, as the oldest person in her stable of siblings, they say all the time, you know, she was the one that she never rebelled against their parents. She never, you know, tried to, she just always was there and did whatever they wanted. And so they have conversations about that from time to time. Anyway, Jennifer had good character. And so I ruined it probably. But anyway, I'm glad that she hung out with me for a while. But Mary had God's favor, because she did all the things she was supposed to do. She was reputed to be obedient to her parents. She was reputed to have many good qualities. And indeed, if we read on in these passages in the book of Luke, we find that not only did she have God's favor, but for instance, in Luke chapter 1, verses 48 and 49, we find out that Mary was considered to have great humility, that she was a humble person. We know by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 19 and 51, that she was a thoughtful person. We know that it talks about Mary pondering things and that she thought about things. And so she was one of those people who would have not just kind of taken life as it comes and gone on and done whatever, but she thought things happened for a purpose and a reason. And she was a very thoughtful person. We know that she was a conscientious person. I want you to hear in Luke chapter 2 and verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. We know that she was a very conscientious person. She did everything the law required. How many of us can think back about our childhoods and think, and there could be something written about us that say, we did everything that we were supposed to do and everything that was required of us and everything according to the law. Mary was an exceptional person, a young lady of character. And as we think about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, we find both that Joseph is defined as a person who was righteous. That's a characteristic that's credited to God for being right. And Joseph was considered a righteous man. And we know that he was a compassionate man because once he considered this issue of divorce, he decided against it. Angel of the Lord came to him and said, you don't need to do that. And so he said, okay, I won't do that. Now, how many of us, if we knew we were going to face the ridicule and misunderstanding of our peers and the people around us, how many of us would indeed not make the decision to take the safest route for us and the one that no matter what was going to happen to the other person, you know, she's going to be on her own about her reputation, but I'm a good guy and I just want to get clear of the whole situation. How many of us would tend to take that path rather than taking the path of most resistance and maybe becoming a social outcast, maybe not being accepted by the family? I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that could have happened that we know defined Mary and Joseph as people of character. In Luke 1:34, Mary's purity and innocence is recognized. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, it talks about her energy and earnestness. So, you know, these were just all around good, clean, solid young people. They were doing all the things that they were supposed to do. But not only were they people of character, they were people of faith. And indeed, we find in thinking about Mary and Joseph in Luke 1:38, we find that there was a belief. In order for Mary to accept that this angel was from God, there was this belief. And indeed, there is testimony in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47 to receiving God to be her Lord and her master. We know that Joseph, upon hearing these angels speak in a culture that said, here's the acceptable thing to do, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, gave him a direction, and he received that word. I wonder what made him do that. It had to have been great faith. He had to believe that that angel was indeed a messenger from Almighty God, which means he had to have a substantial belief in that God to understand that angels were even messengers of God. There had to have been occurrences or recordings in history that he would have accepted when an angel came to him and identified himself as an angel of the Lord, that he would have accepted that. That would have been a thing that was not average or normal, but it was recorded that those types of things had happened. And he received that and accepted that. And so we know that they were both persons of great faith. Now, let's think about the Jewish history. And do the Jews have a really good record of always doing exactly what God said? Do the Jews have a reputation for being whiners and complainers? And do they indeed have a reputation for doing their own thing and following their own wills instead of going with sometimes the obvious, miraculous hand of God after all the things that had happened to their ancestors in the Red Sea and the River Jordan and the parting of waters and all the miraculous things that went on and on and on, all the stories that are part of their history? Indeed, they were not necessarily always faithful people, but Mary and Joseph were people of great faith. And lastly this morning, they were people of obedience. For when the angel spoke to Mary and said, this is how this is going to happen, what did Mary say? Not me, not on your life. I don't want any part of that. No, she said, I'm the servant of the Lord, so it is, be it unto me. Between 13 and 16, how many between 13 and 16 year of age kids do you know that don't question any authority? That's not a regular occurrence. And so indeed, she was a person of obedience. We know that we go on and we read in the scriptures in Luke chapter 2 that there was the observance of circumcision. They attended the feast of the Passover and they carried out an example to Jesus of how they should be doing things. And so we know that there is a record of Mary's personal obedience. We know that when it comes to Joseph, that there was the acceptance of Mary by not divorcing her. We know that in Matthew 2:14, he followed direction to escape to Egypt. And we know that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 21, that he left Egypt and returned to Israel, all under the direction of a being that was supposed to be a messenger from God. So we know that when they receive what they believe to be a word from the Lord, they heard it and they did it. How many people in our culture believe this is the word of the Lord? And how many people that say they believe this is the word of the Lord actually do what it says? Why do you think God had to write a part in it that said, be doers of the word, not hearers only? Because he knows people. He knows their tendencies. And so again, we begin to see the exceptional character of Mary and Joseph that made them the perfect people for God to select, because he knew everything anyway. But we know that they were the kind of people that not everybody is. And so our goal this morning would be, as we celebrate this season of Advent, as we come to the birthday of Jesus and Christmas Day, our goal this morning would to be the kind of people that find favor with God. We want to be the kind of people that believe what God says is the absolute truth. And we want to be the kind of people that indeed, when we believe this is absolute truth, that we act upon it because it is truth. And we have a record and reputation of doing what the book says. How many people that we want to witness to, how many people that we want to win to Christ are going to believe that we indeed are an obedient Christian when we begin to tell them why we don't need to do what the Bible says? What kind of influence and impact is that going to have? If you say to someone, I love you with all my heart, I really don't care about anything you say and I don't want to do what you want me to, how much are they going to believe that you really love them? And yet we say to God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we still want to figure out why we couldn't and shouldn't do what the book says. But as we look at the Christmas story this morning, we find that both Joseph and Mary had a record and reputation of great character, great faith, and great obedience. I believe that's the kind of people that we want to be. And I'm reminded of a verse of scripture in the book of Acts that was describing a man that we know as Barnabas. And this is what it says about him. And this is the kind of thing I hope when it comes time for my funeral, this is the kind of thing that I hope somebody will be able to say, write, or share about me. And I hope that it's your prayer this morning in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. It says this: he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. We introduced to you just a few weeks ago a theme that we'd like to take into the new year. One for one in one. In other words, every one of us bringing one person to Christ in the next 1 year. What would happen to our church if we followed through on that? If every one of us brought one person to Christ. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not an evangelist and I'm not confrontational and I'm bashful and I'm timid and I'm this and I'm that. Every one of us in 365 days will probably have the opportunity to brag on God a little bit somewhere at some point in time in some way. And that's how people come to Christ, is because we tell them about him. We don't necessarily tell them everything about what they have to do from there on out, or we don't have to tell them everything in the Bible and one opportunity to witness. What we have to do is tell them that we know somebody who has helped us and that we know can help them. How many times in the course of a year do you have conversations with somebody who starts telling you all the stuff that's going on in their life? They tell you about the stuff that's wrong. They tell you about the situations that are bad. They tell you about the money they don't have. They tell you about the employment they don't like. They tell you all kinds of stuff. And how many times in those conversations could you just one time in the course of 365 days, how many times could you just say, I know somebody who can help you? That's all it takes. We don't have to preach at them. We don't have to tell them what's wrong with them or what we think is wrong. It's not up to us anyway. All we have to do is in a moment where somebody says, well, what a beautiful day today is. Well, I know the one who made today. All we have to say when somebody says, I don't have enough money to get to the end of the week. Well, I tell you, the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every one of us, no matter what our personality, can have the opportunity and window of time to somehow swing a conversation to give attention to our Heavenly Father. That can give attention to our Lord and Savior. Jesus left all the splendors of heaven, became a babe in a manger, endured all kinds of nonsense and false accusation from humanity, was crucified on a cross, and he could have stopped it in a nanosecond. But he didn't. Because he wanted you and I to have the opportunity to believe, to express faith, and have the gift of God's grace and mercy and the assurance of an eternal home in heaven. How much do you like to do nice things for people who do nice things for you? And how many of you will knock yourselves out if somebody buys you a Christmas present you didn't expect? You'll knock yourself out to go find one and give back to them so you don't owe them anything. We tend to want to do things nice for people that are nice to us. For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. Jesus did not think it necessary to promote Himself, but humbled Himself even to obedience of the death of a cross. I don't know how you can ask for any more than that. The Bible itself says no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his brother. We receive the greatest possible gift when God sent Jesus and when Jesus died on the cross. No one can give any more than God and Jesus gave in those moments of time. If somebody's going to give something good to us, shouldn't we find enough enthusiasm to want other people to receive that same good gift? How many of you have ever watched Oprah Winfrey or Ellen or any of those shows on TV where all of a sudden these people who make more money than they have any idea what to do is start giving all kinds of big prizes to people, and everybody in the studio audience just cheers and cheers because they got an iPad or somebody gave them a car or they got all these things, and every day somebody's giving away these things, and now all the celebrities are trying to top each other, so now they all got to give stuff on their shows, and we find it hard to just say to someone, I know somebody who can help you. If you have the capacity to give and the opportunity to give, there's no greater joy than to give. It's better to give than to receive. And we've all experienced that in different ways. Let me challenge you that out of this Christmas season, that we would be people of character and of faith and obedience, and that we, like Mary and Joseph, would give whatever we can give to promote the cause of Christ. And as we go out of this year of 2014 and into the year of 2015, let's commit in our hearts and our minds and pledge in our souls that, Lord, give us the opportunity and we will do our best. And to be quite honest, you'll probably have more than one chance. And it's okay if you share with more than one person. Who knows what might happen inside this building? If we continue to share what has been given to us into the lives of others. I believe God can do miraculous things. It can be a great year. What's your profession of faith this morning? Do you profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Let's be people full of the Holy Spirit. Be people who want to share what we have that's good with others, just as we give gifts and other things. Which, by the way, let me say thanks to you. You've done a great job. We've sponsored a family this Christmas, and Carolyn tells me that we received everything that that we had asked for, and some gift cards and things. I will deliver that. I will get to deliver that to those people personally probably tomorrow or Tuesday. And I will get to see the smiles on their faces, and I will get to see the appreciation in their eyes. So I'll probably tell you about it sometime. But, you know, we have all we need for life in Jesus Christ. Let's do our best to share Him this year with somebody. Even all it takes is just even to invite them to an event or a church service to where they can hear somebody else talk about Jesus. But let's do our best to find those around us who don't know, who don't have a relationship, and let's give them the opportunity at least to hear and to make their own choices. Amen? From our house to your house in God's house. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We love you and appreciate you and thank you. And in just a moment, we're going to ask Cody to pray a closing prayer, but I think there may be an item that needs to be dealt with. Where's the cord? You got, is that mic down there, Pat?
Because of your generosity, we're able to present small token, Christmas gift to Pastor Gary and Jennifer. Pastor Don and Ruth are not here, but we'll do that for them next Sunday. And for Sue, for our staff, we wish them a Merry Christmas. And, you know, we wish we could do more always. But, again, thanks to your generosity, we're able to present them with this gift from you to them. And we get say, maybe give it to Jennifer. She'll make good use of it, I bet. So happy birthday to both of you. And, Sue, I won't make you come. I see you're back there on crutches still, so I will give this to Sue. And again, Merry Christmas. Thanks for all you do for all of us, and for all of you, more than, you know, you do more than we know sometimes. But Merry Christmas, and
thank you.
Thanks to all of you.
Appreciate that so very much, Pat. Thank you, church family. We love you. We appreciate you. And by the way, part of the JCPenney gift certificate that you gave me for Pastor Appreciation Day bought these black jeans that I have on. So anyway, thank you for always appreciating us and caring for us. And I'm doing the casual thing, you know. So, yeah, see. But my shirt tail is tucked in. Sorry, it's just the way I am. So anyway, praise the Lord for your kindness and Merry Christmas to you. There is a box for those of you who might not have been here. Last week, when we've had family coming and going, family gatherings, there's a few of the apples and peanuts that are left. If you did not get something last week, we would be glad for you to have something as you go out of the sanctuary today. But again, tonight, come and go communion. We will begin at 5:00. There's a time sheet out on the Welcome Center. You can sign up for whatever specific time you want to come. There'll be refreshments. We're providing the refreshments. Somebody asked the question, are you supposed to bring finger foods? Jennifer and I will provide the refreshments for you. And so we just want you to come and be able to visit with each other until time to come in and indeed have prayer and communion with me here in the sanctuary at the appointed time. So God bless you each and every one. Cody, if you would, pray a closing prayer for us, please.
If we all could stand and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for having the time and another day and the place that we can come talk about the reason for the season, Lord, and you coming to save us, Heavenly Father. And I pray that after hearing the sermon today, Lord, that you would make us people of faith and obedience and character, and that not only would we become those things, Father God, but that we would go out to our neighbors and our friends and the people, maybe that we don't even know that we know that need you, Father God, that we would share that. And we would, as we enjoy this holiday season and in you being born, Father God, I pray that you would just give us the courage and put people in our paths and give us the openness to share the joy and happiness that you bring to us, to share that with other people, Father God. And I pray that you would just be with those that are traveling that aren't with us today, Father God. And I pray that you'd be with those of us that will be traveling throughout the week as we go and see family and keep everybody safe. Amen.